Shut up! The footies are dribbling!
Sunday is not the day to relax. Because Triple M Footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
You are a genius, Dave.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joey.
This is the Sunday Rub.
This is going to be an absolute belter.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy once again for 2024. And if the off-air conversations we'd have over the last 10 minutes are any indication, she's going to be a fun and entertaining old year on Sundays on the M's once again. Thanks for joining us at the MCG. A glorious Melbourne afternoon. This magnificent ground is bathed in sunshine. Can't wait for Melbourne versus the Western Bulldogs from 1 p.m. How would you know what is going to happen in this one? Can't wait for the two sides to do battle out here today. My name is Jay Clark. I look around the room and I just see greatness. I see achievements and accolades and highlights. Three of the best to have ever done it. I'm going to start with this man. Ross Lyon said he was the best player in the game back at the peak of his powers in 2011.
Thank you, Jay.
Hangers and highlights and goals from the boundary. He did it all from his first outing and now has the shiniest teeth in the business. Hello to you, Dale Thomas.
Hello, Jay. Great to be back alongside you all again for what should be a fun year. I love the fact that the first month everyone's still happy and smiling. It's good to see. A couple of weeks in, we're all happy. We're all pumped to be here. We get here early. Come about round five. No doubt Stevie will be late. Joey will be grumpy and I'll be hungover. So.
That's normally how it plays out early in the season. Now, this man, well, he's sort of been able to stay away from the headlines over the bulk of his career, always very low-key, used to fly under the radar in the blue and white hoops, of course.
I thought you were about to introduce Joey.
And over summer, once again, been very quiet, dodged any major sort of incidents or emergencies. It's Steve Johnson. Hello to you, Stevie.
G'day, Jay. G'day, boys. Great to be back.
You walked in today, very happy with your new shape, looking very svelte. Did I hear you say, who's the skinniest one of us now?
Well, Daisy always sits in the prime seat there because he loves the camera. Right. He likes the highlights
there. There's one there too.
Well, there's one there, but it doesn't really capture me. Blocks it. That's why I wanted the seat. No, but he makes me squeeze through here. And every time I want to go outside to the Ron Evans room and get a meat pie, It takes a fair bit of effort, and I've got to get him off his seat.
So, if anything, it was a compliment. He said the skinnier one should go there. Yeah.
Well, you're all looking very good. Normally three heavyweights. And this man, Lee Montagna, 287 gamer, two-time All-Australian, St Kilda Hall of Famer. Great to be with you. You dropped a little nugget this week too, Joey. You said that Big Maxi Gorn was sick last week.
Oh, thank you. Breaking some news.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was all over it.
What day was that, Joey?
Friday.
Yeah. If only someone went with it on Wednesday on the midweek rub.
He's stealing your gear already.
He stole my gear and didn't even credit me. Just went, I've heard a whisper, boys.
Oh. Very good. Hey, good to see you, boys. Good to be back. Early starts this year, 12 o'clock. We're going to be doing the Sunday rub, so I'm a little bit flat. It might affect our Sunday supper, so I'm not sure what we're going to do there. We might have to have the Sunday late breakfast or something instead, but nice to be with you boys again for another big year.
Well, I'm a bit worried because it gives you three 1 hour less to recover from the night before. So it's going to be an interesting year. Normally, Joey, it's a bit of a competition to see who is the biggest dog in the Triple M commentary box, isn't it? You know, you've got BT and all the boys, of course. Luke Darcy being very successful over the journey yourself. But when Stevie Johnson came in a year or two ago, sort of assumed the mantle as the sort of big dog because he had all the silverware and the success. He sort of assumed the top dog status. Do you say that's fair?
I think that's 100% fair.
Where's this going?
Duck moved aside. Stevie J stepped in. Yeah, three premierships, a normie, made sure he let everyone know about it. He's a big dog in town.
I didn't tell anyone. Everyone already knows, Joe.
And whenever we talk about sort of grand finals or getting it done on the big dance, he'd be the one who'd put his hand up. Yeah, I can talk about this. I know a lot about this, boys. We've got a newcomer to the Triple M team.
Yes, we do.
Isaac Smith, former Cat and former Hawk. He's joined us on a Thursday night, and he started absolutely on fire. I just want for you to listen to this little clip from Thursday night and just tell me if you think that he's just trying to assert his authority over the great Stevie J.
The least humble of all
that works with us on a Sunday.
Yes.
The man who, once Duck moved aside, he strutted in with his three flags and his Norm Smith, of course. We're talking about Stevie Johnson.
Yep.
Thinks he's the big dog in town. Mm-hmm. I've heard he's cut up rough. I've heard he's spoken to management and thought, hang on a minute, someone has come in that's got a better resume than me, and Stevie J is not happy.
More silverware.
More silverware. Got more to talk about. And not only that, he's got the 2008 grand final that he can really rub in to Stevie J. So... just got to be careful, Izzy, if you bang on too much about these premierships.
Yeah, 3-1's cute.
How many All Australians has he got? Oh,
here we go.
Oh, yeah, many. Bang. Yeah. How many times has he coached the flags? Yeah, but okay, I won a VFL one. There's four. how many All Australians? Isaac Smith?
Yeah, we'll just have a look at that, Rabsy.
We'll just check that out.
All Australians.
Sure, how many games?
The pile on the Joey started, though.
Yeah, I know. That's don't worry.
Just
I
let him up
that.
The creek.
I threw a little half volley for Isaac.
Do you know what?
I was actually listening to part of the Thursday night call on my way home from footy training, and they threw to Joey and Isaac for special comments at the quarter time break. And I thought, oh, this would be great. Some insight from a 4-time premiership player in Isaac Smith. They said, I'll throw down to Joey and Isaac for the special comments from the quarter time. And you spoke for 2 minutes straight until the siren rang. Isaac didn't even get a look in. Talk about asserting your authority, Joey.
Oh. He's going to bide his time.
Well, I just got a little update from Ryan here. And how many All-Australians do you think he's got, Joey? Isaac Smith.
I mean, I want to say zero, but yeah. I don't want to be offensive. Is it zero?
Zero All-Australian jumpers.
There are three of them. It's not too bad, Isaac. Should have been five.
Oh, I love that already. Do you know what my favourite part of that clip was? You said... oh, plus you've got 2008.
Yeah, I know.
Over him.
Yeah.
He didn't play.
Nah, he didn't start till after that.
But didn't correct you either.
No, he didn't, did he? Let me go.
He let that go, so I like that. From Isaac Smith, an amazing addition to the Triple M team. Now, something we've also been having a little bit of fun with is Dale Thomas, and the fact that despite he's one of the best blokes in football, he wasn't invited to his great mate Steel Sidebottom's wedding back in the day.
That's only a couple of years ago.
And you're still sort of wrestling with that, Daisy.
Bitter. Cut up, rough. Yep.
And you've had your wedding recently. Well, Nath Brown, who's due to join us in a couple of minutes, asked Steel Sidebottom about why he didn't invite you and vice versa the other night. Let's take a listen, Steel Sidebottom.
I work every Sunday with a former premiership teammate of yours, Daisy Thomas, and he always brings up the fact that you didn't invite him to your wedding. So we just wanted to let Daisy know the reason why he didn't get a start.
You put me on the spot. I don't know. I only had a 150 spots and Daisy, he was probably 151. But I made sure I messaged him the day after his wedding and told him his wedding looked boring and shit. So I didn't get a gig. So thanks, Daisy.
It's true that he did message me. Sunday the 4th of Feb, 8:41 p.m. Wedding looked boring. Hope it was shit. so look, we're having a bit of a laugh around it, but I did get the right of reply whether or not I was the bigger man and invited him to my wedding.
Mm.
I didn't. I was not the bigger man, and he's going well still. Good to see.
Wedding guest list hard to do at the best of times. Did you invite your whole team, Stevie?
Not the whole team, but I would have had a good dozen.
Okay.
It's tough. It's tough.
It is
tough.
Bloody tough.
Yeah.
What about you, Joey?
Tried to invite as many as I could, but yeah, it is very difficult. Well, you've got to draw the line somewhere, don't you? You can't invite everyone. Somewhere in the middle.
It's difficult when you've been to a wedding and then you have to leave them out of your wedding.
Oh, you don't automatically invite them.
Who'd you do that to?
No, I'm not going to name names, but next teammate.
Can't make that comment if you're not going to name names.
No, I don't want to get back to him. I just, yeah, hope he... I don't know. I'm not going to name him.
He won't hear it, Stevie. He won't hear it.
No, we'll beep it out.
He's across the Nullarbor anyway.
It's going to be a big year on the M's, of course. We probably should start talking some football at some point. It has been a very interesting and newsworthy round one in the AFL, of course. And last night...
Are you throwing to yourself here?
A little bit. The Cats got the job done over the Saints by 8 points down there at GMHBA Stadium. GWS, a healthy win over North Melbourne, 39 points. Essendon, under Brad Scott, 24-point winners over Hawks. We'll talk about Archie Perkins soon. Big game from him yesterday. Gold Coast hung on against Adelaide by 6 points. And then on Friday night, Sydney spoiled the premiership unfurling of the flag against the reigning premiers. Collingwood got the job done by 33 points. We're going to speak about the Pies shortly. And Carlton hung on against Richmond by 5 points. So plenty in this round last night. Stevie, If the game is on the line late in the fourth quarter, just say there's a minute left and you're 55 metres out in front of goal, game's hanging in the balance. What do you do in that situation?
Are you talking about the Dangerfield decision to have a shot at goal?
We are talking about
that. So they're up in that game of footy. I was surprised that he had the shot on goal. Now, most people out there would be surprised by what I'm about to say. But the best thing for Dangerfield to do in that situation was to find an uncontested mark, because finding an uncontested mark ices the game. It's game over. And it's easier to find an uncontested mark than to kick that goal from 55. I would have thought that's a 50% chance for him to kick that goal. And great, good on him for going back and having the confidence to do it. But if that shaves the post, the ball goes back into the St Kilda hands and they can go coast to coast and win the game, like we've seen last season with Collingwood against Essendon. So you live and die by the sword. But for me, if I was coaching, I would say look for another uncontested mark. 30 seconds off the clock, game over.
But does Paddy Dangerfield have a licence in that situation?
I don't think anyone has a licence, Jay. I would have thought that if the coach had an earpiece to Patrick Dangerfield, he would have said, look for a little uncontested mark. And I think Myers or maybe Stengel popped out late in the pocket. It would have been a 9 out of 10 kick that he would have hit, and that's game over. Whereas that shot on goal was a 50-50, and you risk handing the ball back to St Kilda with time on the clock to go down the other end of the ground and kick a goal.
So you're still happy for him to take the 25 seconds off the clock. You go back and point at the goals like you're going to kick it.
Pretend.
And then just have a little scan, pop out late, game done.
Yep.
All you done, Joey?
Look, it's a decision-making game. So every decision a player makes, you've got to live and die by the sword. So Dangerfield's elected to go for goal. Luckily for him, he kicked it, because if he missed it and they did go coast to coast, we're having a completely different conversation.
Chris Scott said in the press conference afterwards that it was a big decision, but that's why the superstars are the superstars. Let's have a listen to Barry Denner's call of Patrick Dangerfield's match-sealing bomb.
How important the kick. With 1 minute left on the clock, he knows if it's a point, the Saints will try and rush it to the other end of the ground. So a goal imperative here. The skipper's got it in his hand. It's 52 out. He loads up. It's long. I think he's got it. He has. He snuck it home by half a metre. And that's why he's one of the greats of our game.
And one of the great callers of our game.
Baz.
Big moment comes and he's absolutely nailed it. Joe, you said something interesting about a month ago. You said you were buying as much of the Cats stock you could get. You thought you wouldn't be surprised if they were top four. They've been written off a lot. Last night we saw Max Holmes go to a half-back flank, win plenty of the ball, 24 touches. Then a young bloke, Oliver Dempsey, who I think was playing amateur footballer, basketballer, when they drafted him, kicked 3 goals, had 15 possessions, looked like the best player on the field, 21 years of age, 187 centimetres. Looks like they've found another one, the Cats.
Well, they have. And this is the beauty of Geelong. The way they've managed this list management over the last 7-8 years, I think will just continue. I think that I came into this year thinking the age conversation was a bit of, as my old coach would say, a bit of fingernail deep analysis. Like, yes, Tom Hawkins is 35. We know he's past it. Dangerfield's going to be 34 soon. But blokes that are still 31, 32, we have now seen in modern football, are still in their prime. And we've even seen last year's grand final, Steele Sidebottom and Scott Pendlebury. We've lauded that Collingwood wouldn't have won a premiership with those veterans if they didn't perform the way they do. And when you look at their list, like Jeremy Cameron and Tom Stewart are both 30, 31, still in their prime. That's still a prime age. Then you've got some young blokes coming through. Holmes and Tanner Bruin are improving. Like their forward line of Stengel, Myers, Close, Ollie Henry, now Ollie Dempsey are all still young enough. And the back line, I just mentioned Tom Stewart, but De Koning's 23. Jack Henry and Zach Guthrie are 25. They've got enough youngsters in this group to keep them around the mark and be a contender. Now, to what level? Are they a premiership contender? We're not sure about that. But the aim of the game at AFL level is to put yourself in a position to be a chance and see where it takes you. So I think they are in that situation again. And it's an amazing football club. And I think they do their list management. CBJ's good mate, Andrew Mackey and co have done it as well as anyone.
And they're after a big fish in this trade period.
And they'll probably jag another midfielder next year.
A golden acquisition for the midfielder. All eyes on Bailey Smith. And if Clayton Oliver pursues a fresh start, they're probably one of 17 clubs who want to have the conversation with him. But the Cats would be a perfect landing spot for Clayton Oliver. What about the flip side of this coin? St Kilda, I think they've been written off as the big sliders largely this year. Darcy Wilson, very impressive, but couldn't get the job done in the end. Fell 8 points short and certainly hang on. Ross Lyon was a frustrated man after the game in the press conference. take a listen to another golden one-liner from Ross the Boss.
I'll tell you what I do know, the phone in the coach's box is very sturdy because it's got to work out. I've been banging the phone like that for years, right? So it was very therapeutic.
What did you think of the Saints last night, Joe? You had a good look at them?
Yeah, I thought they were okay.
Right.
But Geelong had the better of them for the majority of the game, but they put themselves in a position to win it. Look, it's never easy down at Geelong. And the way the Cats defend, particularly at that ground, it's always hard to score. So I thought that they were okay. I still think, as I've said, Geelong are a good team, so I'm not certainly getting too upset about St Kilda's loss. But they're the ones that I think they've got higher expectations. I think they're frustrated because they think now they're ready to win those sorts of games.
I haven't won since 1999 at the Cats. Yeah. You would never have won down
never
there.
Never won down there, no.
So I think they've lost their 12 straight. Darcy Wilson, nice signs from him. Rowan Marshall was very good in the ruck. Stevie.
They're a developing team. They're still two years away from their best, I think. They've got some superstar young players, Wanganeen Malira, Windhager, obviously Max King, down forward. So, and Darcy Wilson, the Wangaratta boy, he's going to be a superstar in the future. So, it's very hard to go down to Geelong and win. They got close. They looked like they were going to run over the top in the end, but got very close. They'll win a lot of footy games this year.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Well, we wanted to start something new on Sundays this year, and our magnificent producer, Ryan Warren, has come up with this.
Now on the Sunday Rub.
Every gun makes its own tune.
It's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the round so far.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Yes, that's it. It's the good, bad, and the ugly. I think Daisy's...
Who's who?
How have you worked out who's doing what? Because
I'm keeping it positive.
You're the glass half full guy?
Yeah.
So
maybe
Daisy's
three
good.
Full.
Joey, you're the
bad,
little grumpy, and Stevie J, you're going to be very ugly. Is that right?
That's correct.
And I might add an ugly as well. All right, glass half full, man. Daisy, kick us off with the good today.
Well, I like the fact that we've just hit round one, but you get away with a few things in round one, having shots from the pocket, a few little undisciplined things that we look past. But the want to take mark of the year in round one
yes.
has not been lost on any of the players. I was doing the game yesterday. Weddle went up one-handed, Odell Beckham Jr. style, just pluck one out of the sky. Marby Old Chaw's trying to reenact a Chris Tarrant mark down there in the same end. Last night there was
Mitch Owens almost took an absolute hanger down at Geelong.
They're just going for them, and I love the fact it's round one and already we're seeing blokes just try and put the head up in near the rings of Saturn.
Do you have more of a license in round one? I didn't know about this rule. Round one, you're trying to make the impression and stick to the rules and what the coach wants. You're saying you can sort of push the boundaries a little bit in the first game of the season.
Yeah, get away with a little bit of...
The coaches tell you to go out and express yourselves round one until you get beaten and you start tightening up.
So round two, you're punching the ball from behind. Round one, you're hangers.
You were the only one in here that used to fly for hangers. Did you ever get a message from the coach or get told off to sort of 8 days, you pull your head in, or was it always free rein?
No, well, when Mick was coach, I got free rein, and then after that it tightened up a little bit. And I didn't get a kick at Carlton, so there wasn't too many messages coming out. But Mick Mouldhouse was a big one. Play to your strengths. I remember one time over in Perth, he went berserk at Shane O'Brien, who took a mark at 50 and used to kick these beautiful left foot torps. He went back, kicked a right foot, drop punt, didn't make the distance, and he went berserk at him for not kicking the torp.
How good is that?
Right. Why did you flip the bird at Bucks again?
I didn't flip the bird. I just might have had the tongue out. He told me I'd need to get a kick, and then I kicked the first goal out of three-quarter time and run the whole length of his outer wing. Just looking at the coach's box, I got dragged. I got the phone. He goes, that better not have been for me. Who else drew it was for? Threw the phone away, and we'll spend the next 15 minutes on the pint.
Oh, very good. Righto, Joey. So that was Josh Weddle from Hawthorn, who looks a superstar.
And Marbior.
And Marbior.
He's me, man.
What about you, Joey? You've got the bad.
Yeah, well, the bad, and could almost be ugly from what we've seen so far in the first opening rounds, is the injuries. And some serious injuries to some seriously good players.
Name them.
Josh Gibkiss was the big one on Thursday night, the ACL. Adam Uze is a lot spoken about Richmond's younger players. He doesn't have too many shiny toys to work with. Gibkiss is probably the shiniest of them all. And he just wasn't able to wasn't able to get through the game with that injury. Horrible for him. He's had bad luck.
The other interesting part is players that have had bad luck previously get it again. Mm. And that's the one you feel for. So then you go straight to Sam Doherty last week and his ACL injury. And we know that this is now his third and everything he's been through. Such an important player. He's been through horrible times at Carlton. Finally, they're a side that are going to contend and he's not going to be part of it. And then Kadeen Coleman, the youngster who was ready to take the competition by storm, be the main man in the back half at Brisbane. He's done it as well. And then young Josh Goddard with the Achilles rupture yesterday, a youngster trying to make his way. So it's just the horrible part of footy, particularly early in the season. Everyone's fit, they're firing, they've done their pre-seasons, and then you lose some of your best players for a whole year.
And to add to that list, Zach Reid-Vesnin with the hamstring awareness. Can you learned friends tell the people out there, what is hamstring awareness?
I never did that.
It means it's a grade one or a grade two hammy.
It's a strain.
Yeah, it's a strain.
Why don't they just say it's a strain? What's awareness mean? They know your leg's there. They know your nosey's hamstring there. Why has that crept into our vernacular?
Well, I think until you get a scan to confirm it, you've just got some, you feel something. So that's a way of confirming. And this, Zach Reid did miss all of last season with a hamstring injury, didn't he? And he had hamstring surgery. So potentially there is an element that maybe he was just feeling something and they thought, let's not even take a risk. Let's just sit you out. And we'll see how bad it is. So it could be one where it actually might just be awareness and they've erred on the side of caution because of his history. But generally, as Stevie said, if you're feeling something in your hammy, there's a little...
Yeah, unless it's a neural thing that comes through your back and you can sort of feel a bit of awareness. But if you've got a history, it's more than likely going to be a grade one and he'll miss at least a week.
I'm calling horseradish on the use of awareness in football. Hey, Stevie J, bloody good to see you again back this year. Pumped up for a big 2024. You've got the ugly. What are you coming
up? I do, Jay.
Run at?
Yeah, this is very ugly, to be honest. Now, this is one of my passions is coming to the footy and eating a meat pie, 4 and 20.
Oh, how good.
Now, what would you say, Joey, what's a reasonable price for a 4 and 20 pie if you were to bring your kids along to the footy and you've got to stump up to buy the kids, say, maybe the family, four and 20 meat pies? What are you expecting to pay?
Oh, somewhere between $3.50 and $5. I'd be happy to pay.
We're paying on four pies. You want to? You give a $20 note. You want change? If you get
twenty.
Four
max,
pies.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
What is it?
You're paying for four pies $24.80. So they're $6.20 a pop.
What's a meat pie?
You get four pies at Woolworths for $6.30.
Okay, so the markup. So someone looking after the catering. I know the MCC do a fantastic job here with their organisation.
That's only because you did a paid gig from last week. Tell the actual whole truth. They're doing a shocking job and we need some change.
Yeah, there's costs involved with running the show. But but I just think that's the same price for a bottle of water, a bottle of Coke, $6.20. It's just, you know, whoever's looking after it, might be Delaware or someone like that.
Right.
They need to have a good hard look at themselves.
Yes, that seems a bit steep for a humble footy pie. I thought they were $2 last year. Or maybe that was...
$2?
Isn't it footy pie? Or is it maybe that was a Marvel.
Yeah, that was
We're
a
not
Marvel.
Really
Marvel.
Too sure what they are up here in Ron Casey room because they just get brought out.
True.
Daisy has a good crack.
I've got a muesli bar, Steve. Take it back.
Don't worry, you'll be into the pies. And you know who's number one... pie eater in this box.
Oh, one
who's not quite with us right at the moment.
Oh yeah, Nathan
Brown. Have you seen how many he eats during the course of a game?
And then Mo's a custard donut as well, always at 3/4 time.
I have never seen anyone eat more than Nathan Brown. Remember we did the Sunday suppers last year. I used to bring in a whole separate tub of food just for him, and he'd still ask me for more. The man can eat like a horse. It's unbelievable. Right, my ugly. Now, Joey, I don't want to really pick on the first gamer too much.
Oh my gosh, but you are.
Who?
Oh, what?
Now, the Wizard Watson.
Oh, Jay.
Jay. No. Watson, I know his family would have been there watching him, and it's great that he, you know, made his AFL debut and he kicked a couple behinds. Hawthorne's conversion yesterday was horrific, but there was something that happened, I'm pretty sure it was the third quarter, certainly in the second half at the Richmond end here. He was tight on the boundary. He had Jack Gunston free as a bird 30 metres out directly in front. And he had a shot on goal, had a check side shot on goal, trying to thread the eye of the needle and missed. And Jack Gunston turned his back and gave him the most disgusting look. Now, I would have thought, team, that in your first game as a high draft pick, there are some easy wins.
No.
It's no time, Jay. No,
he's called the Wizard.
That's right. The Wizard doesn't get centre the ball.
You don't get called the Wizard for hitting the hot spot.
Exactly right.
I would have thought when you're trying to earn the respect and trust of your teammates, then that's just an easy setup to your man, Jack.
No.
And they get right round you.
Kick a checky for your first goal in AFL footy.
Worry about that once they've told you to pull your head in.
Then you're the fan favourite for life.
He's blazed away from the point post, and I didn't like it. I think that he just gets some runs on the boards with his teammates first. So,
you're a real party pooper.
Yeah. Nick the Wizard, Watson. This is the high standard we're going to set in the good, bad, ugly.
Did
this
you
year.
Take mark of the year or gold or mark of the week or goal of the week on
mark
debut?
Mark of the week on debut.
On debut. Yeah, see.
Goal and then of the became, week 3 weeks later.
Became a fan favourite after three games.
For Flair?
Yeah, the Flair.
Yeah, that's what. Bums on seats, Jack.
Well, I want to see more.
Hotspot.
Team oriented.
Disgusting. Hotspot. Fuck.
I want to see more team orientation from the little man, and he is a little man, the Wizard Watson. I'm sure he'll be better for the run.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
Yes, welcome back to the Sunday Rub. Jake Clark, Lee Montagna, Steve Johnson, and Dale Thomas. We are delighted to be joined by this man. He's one of the best kicks in the competition. He's got one of the best left jabs in the game, of course, and he's been an absolute warrior for two clubs. Of course, I speak of Jake Melksham. Good morning to you, Jake.
Morning, fellas.
It's great to be with you, mate. 221 games, 180 goals at two clubs, of course, mate. But how is the recovery from the knee going? We're all devastated for you last year, mate, when you went down. How's the comeback coming along?
It's been pretty good so far. I've had, I won't say seamless, but I haven't had too many issues with it, touch wood. It's, you know, I had 3 months off after I did it because it was late in the season and we went away, went on holiday. So I wasn't at the club and having to rehab it each day and do cross trainings and whatnot. So, yeah, I survived the summer. That was filled with swims, bikes, deep water runs, all the fun stuff. And now I'm into some proper training. So if you were to catch a glimpse of what I'm doing on Punt Road there, you would think that I'm ready to go because I'm doing pretty much everything, but it's more just some exposure and time in those phases of training for me at the moment. So I'll be looking forward to the middle of the year when I can get back out there.
Well, great to hear. I was going to ask you about that, the time frame roughly. When do you think you could start playing some footy?
Yeah, we've sort of earmarked in the calendar, once you tick your markers and milestones off, I'll be ready to play BFL footy at that Queen's Birth or King's Birthday clash, whatever you call it, big freeze for Neil. So if things are going well, I'd love to try and come back in a little bit earlier and make my way into the team for that game. But there's no rush. We just get it right. I'm 33. I'm not in a rush to get back out there like some of these young blokes. I've got to play it smart and think about the bigger picture towards the back end of the year.
And they're missing you in that front half at the moment, Jake. You were terrific last year. Tell us about the team and what's happened over the last week after you lost. The forward mid connection didn't seem to be there. What are you putting that down to? Is it the responsibility of the kickers going inside 50 or the forwards getting to work there and creating space and a bit of chaos inside 50?
Yeah, it's a good pick-up, Stevie. It's something that we've been working on for a good 18 to 24 months now. And I can tell you we worked on it a real heap during the summer. And for whatever reason, we didn't bring it out last week. I think more so around forwards executing a role when we're trying to bring the ball in. We've all got patterns that we need to run and positions that we need to start in. But also the guy with the footy's got a responsibility to put it to the forwards' advantage and actually connect with him. So even if he doesn't mark it, he's got to be able to compete. So I think you'll see a big response in that area today.
Did you speak to the boys about the conditions last week? It seemed like it was a perfect night for football, but it looked like sweat and a bit of humidity might have made it a bit wet.
Yeah, horrific was the word they said coming off the field. I gave a few blokes a high five and a hug, and I was drenched, very sweaty. They were talking to a couple of the Sydney boys, Toby Bedford and Brody Grundy, saying that they trained in that all summer, quite humid up there. So it certainly took us by surprise, and we got the soapy balls out during the week and did some craft trying to mark a soapy ball and dewy ball. So it's something we need to work on and start to train in those type of conditions a little bit more.
So what are you expecting from today then, Jake, from the boys? Perfect day, MCG back at home. What are you sort of looking for from the team?
Oh, look, we're looking to get our brand back on show. If you watched the game last week, as I'm sure you all did, it didn't look like a Melbourne game. We conceded, you know, a decent score, and we didn't score too well ourselves. We've got to be a bit more efficient in front of goal. I think today, as you said, perfect for that. And we're going to love the space of the G. We're back on our home deck. This is our fortress, and the boys are pretty excited.
Speaking to Jake Melksham from the Melbourne Footy Club. Hey, Jake, you know Simon Goodwin as well as anyone. You know your tight mates off the field, and bonded early in your time at Essendon. He's got his former president lobbing grenades in the newspapers every second week. Accusations about the club's culture. Can you tell us about up close and personal how you've seen Simon Goodwin handle what must have been the most difficult 2 years of his life.
Yeah, Goody, if you know him or you get to spend any time with him, he's one of the most resilient, hard-working characters that you'll meet in footy. He's a maniac. He's a footy maniac. So he would no doubt just be focusing on what he needs to do to be a good coach of our footy club and what he needs to give us as players. So I'm sure he's probably seen what's being written and read, and there's a bit going on, but inside the club, it's not... I don't even read the papers. Like, you just told me that then. I wouldn't even know what's been said. But and that's true. That's serious. There's a lot of us guys, we don't read the media, and I reckon you might find that across the whole competition. Guys don't really give a rat's what's being spoken about. So...
Jake, I did write a pretty good article about you about 6 months ago.
Sorry, Jake.
Surely you might must have called.
Can you email it to me?
Jake's still flat. He got kicked out of training and got put on top of a dumpster.
That's true.
Please, I'll send you my email after this. I'd love to get it. I'd love to just pump my own tyres up a bit.
Jake, last one before we let you go, mate. You've got a beautiful set of pearly whites yourself. We love them. Have you noticed, Daisy Thomas, something about Daisy's pearlies that have just... happened to over the off-season?
Yeah, look, mine are all natural. I was born with these, but I saw Daisy's and I nearly rang the dentist and said, I want a set of those. I'm happy to pay for them. They are unbelievable. I was on his Instagram the other week. You got married. Congrats, mate. You're looking sensational. I saw you at school pickup the other day too. I nearly blinded myself.
Speaking about chompers, how about Chompers Harms playing in the opposition today? Has there been a bit of back and forth?
Old Harmsy, you'll have to put some sunscreen on the fangs today. You'll get burnt. Sunscreen on the five head too for Harmsy. But we're looking forward to getting into Harmsy. When he gets a bit of lip, he fires up. So you'll probably have to sharpen the elbows up, Harmsy. But it'd be good. It'd be very fun. I messaged him this morning. I'm pretty happy for him and hope he goes well.
You've had a fair bit of time, obviously, to do some different stuff. How's the Pilates studio going?
Yes, the Core Plus Pilates in Essendon. It's it's flying. Myself and the Cochins and my wife and another family, the Kings, are in on it. So, the girls are running the Pilates studio and a bit of yoga. And if you boys ever want to get in there and have a look, you're more than welcome.
It's a long way from Brighton.
Yeah, very good. We're on air in about 30 seconds, Daisy. So we got to go. Jake Melksham, thank you so much for joining us, mate. You've been an absolute star for a long time. We look forward to seeing you back out there mid-year.
Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. Hey, Jake. See you guys.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Rub. What a day it's going to be here at the MCG. It is 30 degrees. It's going to be hot. Melbourne up against the Western Bulldogs to work my way around the box, and I can't wait to get into this. But we have to address the elephant in the room. And over the off-season, it came to light that one of us got stabbed. Now, it's not a thing that happens all the time. There's not too many AFL legends that get stabbed in the off-season. And when it came up, I thought, who would get stabbed amongst the AFL community? I didn't think of Stevie, but it came up. And then the fact that there was a hunting knife involved and he was shutting a gate. I just need to know the real story, Stevie, because no one's buying it.
I bought it.
Jay-Z bought it.
Jay-Z bought it. Jay-Z went with
through the line.
Went with it. Had gospel in there all the time.
I was about to die in hospital when Jay was on the phone already. I was on the operating table. He's like, just give me the scoop.
Did he ask you how you were at least?
No, give me the scoop. What happened?
The old ambulance, Jason. Getting stabbed through a plastic bag with a hunting knife that was meant for their kid's birthday cake.
Would you want me to keep the rumours swirling or tell you what actually happened?
We like honesty.
Honesty.
We don't believe the fluff you gave.
Yeah, okay. I do.
So it was too elaborate.
Three blokes turned up in balaclava wielding machetes.
Yeah.
And my family's inside. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? So I punched the first one. Right hook the next one, and as I've right hooked the next one, the third bloke just stuck the knife straight in me. Nearly killed me, Nath.
To save the family.
Very brave.
I saved the family.
Courageous.
Well done.
Are you okay, though, is the real question.
Yeah,
you showed us the scar, and it's naughty.
Yeah, well, it was a butcher's knife. So what actually happened was...
Kid's birthday cake.
I've gone to pick up the family. They'd been out water skiing. It was my son's 12th birthday.
Had you been drinking?
I hadn't had a drink, not one beer. That was the first mistake, because otherwise I wouldn't have got the bags out of the car. I would have charged inside, jumped on the couch, and probably had a snooze. So I've driven home. I'm away home from footy training, picked the family up from water skiing, lit the birthday cake anyway. We we jump in the car and drive home. I got straight out of the car, thought I'll do the right thing, grab the bags with the life jackets and the wet towels, put one in one hand and one was a beach bag over the other shoulder. And my wife, Erin, said to my little daughter, Annie, who's only five, can you just push through the side gate, go inside and open the front door for us? So she went to open the side gate. She couldn't get through. And with that, I was sort of walking past her. And I said, just move aside, Annie. And I bumped the gate, not knowing that the knife that was used to cut my son's birthday cake was inside. And it just went straight through me. Very deep, very wide gash. It was a butcher's knife, which Erin had taken along to cut a sponge cake. So she got the biggest possible knife she could find.
That was Erin's.
So you get... It was her fault. But the thing is, I just put my life insurance up a month earlier, so it would have looked very suspicious had I have actually cast it.
Mm. I don't think the insurance company's buying that. So when we exchanged messages on the WhatsApp group, when Joey brought up the fact that I'm very surprised it actually got through your guts. How did you?
I'm actually lucky I was carrying a bit. It probably saved my life. Yeah. Meat pies here.
Did they just take you out a little bit while they were operating? Remove.
Oh, well, that's one thing I'm really not happy with. I would have got a bit of lipo. Had I had my time again, I would have said, just while you're in there, while you're stitching it up, can you just suck it?
Did you realise how serious it was? And what did they say when you went under? What was the last thing you remember?
Well, I knew it was pretty serious, Nath, because, you know, there was blood gushing out of me. It was coming out all over my hands, and I was in a bit of shock at the time that it happened. And it happened in front of the family. So I've yelled out, I've got to get to hospital. And they just sort of dispersed. Like, our family dog had ran out the front. So Erin was out at the... letterbox.
So another thing she's done wrong.
Yes. No, anyway.
Shifting the blame.
There was actually some people walking past. And I'm in shock going, get me to the hospital, get me to the hospital. And the bloke walking past said, what's happened, mate? I'm a nurse. He comes over to me and he said, I've stabbed myself somehow. And he said, mate, you need to put a lot more pressure than what you're putting onto that gash. Jump in the car and I'll whiz you off to hospital.
Wow.
And it just so happened that he was the head nurse of the Wangaratta Hospital. He was in charge of the nursing group. So he rang ahead and said, look, I've got someone in a pretty serious condition here coming in. Be aware, you're probably going to need to go straight into theatre and operate on him because it's quite a deep gash. So I was very fortunate.
Did he know you were the three-time premiership superstar?
Oh, most people do, Jake. Yeah.
I thought you lived on a big property. I'm thinking like
unbelievable roads, because you don't see anyone. You don't see anyone.
The wife's all the way down to the front gate chasing the dog. I'm like, it's like a footpath past there, is it? Like you got a next door neighbour.
There is a little laneway that goes out to
set up.
You rarely see people walking past my house. I'm in a really quiet spot at the end of a road sort of court. It was seriously unbelievable how it all occurred to begin with, but then the luck that I had to have someone walking past that was the head of the nursing group. And when I went into the hospital, the assistant doctor in there said, we're probably going to need to do a CT scan, but just let me put my fingers in the gash and see how deep it is.
Oh.
She put the fingers down. Fingers went missing. She goes, forget about the CT scan. You're going straight into theatre as soon as the surgeon arrives, which I was very lucky that the surgeon spends 2 days a week down in Wangaratta teaching the other surgeons.
Gee whiz.
Do you think you're going to cark it?
I thought it was a chance. When they're about to put me under,
you're saying goodbye.
No guarantees.
Did you see Pearly Gates or anything? Or
I wouldn't mind seeing what it was like. But no, I didn't.
So can I just clarify? So Erin, when you were bleeding out, was more concerned about the dog.
Yes.
She sort of went, hang on a minute, the dog's run away. Steve, you'll be right. Let me go get the dog.
No, she was already out the front. Oh, okay. She was already out the front. Okay. So
what have you done for the bloke who saved your life?
I got him a nice bottle of white wine. Yeah. I thought red wine, would be a bit weird given...
Do you feel like the nurse divine intervention?
Well, I was going to ask, you're the one that goes to churchy. Do you think there's a bit of divine, like this is just a bit of a...
Well, I'm trying to picture God's story. Just... So the dog down the front, Erin all the way down the front, and...
A nurse.
Just from nowhere, like...
Just appeared.
Yeah.
Good things happen to good people, Nathan.
Yeah, with hunting knives.
Anyway, well, there you go.
Anyone else got any good stories about
you? What can I ask you about? You've come in here looking quite svelte and lean and energetic, Brownie. We know you're fighting Kane. And the market, I've heard, is $1.05 Kane, $8 Brown.
Right.
So you've come in as the heavy underdog in this one. Do you feel like he can knock his block off? Because Daisy said before he's really cheering for you.
Yeah, it's not about knocking anyone's block off.
Yes, it is. It's about KO.
We're not talking about that sort of stuff. But I'm looking forward to it.
It's a boxing match,
I feel like the pressure is on me.
Yes, it is. All the pressure is on you. The whole football community is on your shoulders.
I ran into an old lady. She would have been 75 the other day at the supermarket. She goes, "Now, Nathan," she goes, "make sure you get that cane corn because I don't like him at all." And he goes, "Give me one for me. Give him one for me too."
The other question is, in hindsight, now that crypto is flying, do you sort of go, "Well, maybe I don't need that cash to do the fight. Maybe I could have just with the crypto the way it is." And I've been
crossed my mind.
What's it worth?
Are you getting paid?
Because I might call out the winner.
What?
Are you getting paid?
30.
No, no.
You're doing it for 30 days? Oh, Daisy's doing nothing, that's why.
I'm doing it for charity.
A community service.
I'll call out the winner for 30.
Community element to it.
You're getting 30K. How much of that do you have to give the church? Because that would be a bit...
it's not about how much you have to give. It's how much you want to give. Okay? It's how much you invest and sow in.
Tim Taranto's texting your phone. What's that currently saying at the moment?
Tim Taranto said, "I should have been All-Australian last year. Can you give him one for me?"
Very good. Should we talk some footy or not?
Boy. Well, lucky to be here.
The Bombers, a nice win under Brad Scott. Then again, Hawthorn absolutely butchered their chances in the forward 50. Sam Mitchell would be dirty with their conversion, Daisy. You saw it yesterday because they did blow a lot of their golden opportunities. Ended up losing by 24 points, but 11 goals, 17-83 Hawthorn to 17-5-107 Essendon. This is one that got away from the Hawks, Daisy.
Yeah, it certainly was. 5-11 to half time compared to 7-3. So they got a lot of good looks too. They took a heap of marks. I think it was double digits inside forward 50. Just the conversion. And it's such a deflator when you do all the hard work. You know that you're not going to be, if you are winning by a lot. So those chances you have to take. And unfortunately, the Bombers were more accurate. And then in the second half there, they just couldn't hold on.
I wanted to ask you a question, Joey. On the Sunday footy show this morning, we spoke about the Bombers and Lloydie was asked about Archie Perkins, whether he could be the next superstar. And in the names of, he even said, Lloydie didn't, but was asked a question about could he be as good as Watson and those sort of players, the same sort of body type. And Lloydie said he should be, if his mind is right, the next superstar of the Bombers.
Oh, big call. Big call, isn't it? I don't think we've seen enough yet, often enough from him to think that he's got that in him. No doubt he's got a heap of upside and he's going to be an important player. I liked the mix yesterday. I like it how they threw in Archie Perkins and Sam Durham because that's their big knock. Their contested ball and ability to win clearance, despite having some good names in recent years, I thought that was important for them. So, you know, Hobbs and Scheel are playing VFL. Jay-Z, do you expect them to get back into the senior side anytime soon?
It's going to be tough. Darcy Parrish.
He's one that walks in.
As well as Sam Draper. So they get stronger in the short term. I'm not sure Hobbs is going to make his way into that engine room just yet. Benny McKay was important.
Yep.
Helped shut down Mitch Lewis. So certainly he provided a lot of structure there. The news, which is disappointing for the Bombers, is Zach Reed. Only played 8 games. Hamstring surgery, of course. He had back stress fractures. Came off, was subbed off at halftime with hamstring awareness. So he'll have scans. You'd think he'd miss a week or two. Jaden Laverty probably comes back in for them straight into a half-back role. But it did sort of feel like glass half full for the Bombers yesterday. And Archie Perkins, I mean, Cox, Perkins, Reed, they're the three big ones for Brownie, for Essendon Brownie. They need them to really come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And there wasn't a lot of defence in the game. It was a high-scoring game. So you feel like when Essendon and Hawthorn come up against good opposition, it's going to be very hard to score for them and it's going to be hard to hold the opposition. So clubs like Port Adelaide, even the Western Bulldogs and Melbourne, who score heavily, they're going to be up against it this year.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was two teams, to me, just at the moment from what I saw being here live, look like they're off the top teams, which I think we expected coming into the season.
Jakey Stringer look fit.
He makes a massive difference when he's fit. When he's fit, they look like a different team, Essendon. Yeah, he's such a damaging player.
The subs have been named for this one, Melbourne versus the Western Bulldogs. Brownie, I'm so staggered by this. Tell me what Luke Beveridge is thinking. So Melbourne, Tajwa Woden, the youngster, well, will be subbed for Melbourne. Caleb Daniel, the best and fairest winner, and potentially one of their three most consistent players over the last 6 years, I think, for the Bulldogs, will start as sub. How do other young players leapfrog Caleb Daniel in the Bulldogs' best 22 so quickly? Is this a right call, or is Bevo...
He does this, though, Bevo, doesn't he?
What,
he's
but is it the right call?
This in round one and practice matches of putting players on notice. And this was a rumour 3 weeks ago that he might be out of the side. Not out of the side, but he's going to be the sub. But he did it to Jason Johannesson a few years ago. And look, I'm not sure what's going on, whether it's defensive pressure that he's not putting on. I can only imagine it's defensive pressure. But when I watch the Western Bulldogs, I don't think they're coached as a defensive side. So their midfield doesn't put any defensive pressure on, which puts defensive pressure on their defenders in the back end. So, I mean, you've got to be able to coach that at the highest level if you want to hold players to account for it.
It looks like they've backed in Nick Caulfield maybe to take that role, because he looked like he's a pretty talented player, Caulfield. He didn't really come on at St Kilda, but...
He's not Caleb Daniel.
Well, but I don't think he is either, but that's what Beveridge is backing in.
But here's the question. If Luke Beveridge rolled out round one today, the same team that he rolled out last year or the year before, would we be saying, is he going to try something different because there's a talented list and they don't perform and they underachieve and all these sorts of things? So I think he's trying to reinvent this team a little bit, which I probably think we all think they need to do to some extent to try and find the right combination. Now, I mean, is he making a point of Jack McRae and Caleb Daniel? Maybe for that, for their ability to pressure and be, you know, leg speed and that sort of thing. But I mean, it is a guy that always tries things. So we do know that sometimes he gets them right, sometimes he doesn't. It feels like he's trying something early in the season.
If they don't change direction with the ball today, we know it's the wrong call. Caleb Daniel was the one down there, the good kick, the better kick down there, and was happy to bite off the harder option.
Yep.
If they start chopping it down there, turning it over, Bevo may have got it wrong.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
For McDonald's Ream Hot Water, we rock footy at the MCG. Melbourne up against the Western Bulldogs, 28 to 30 degrees, an absolute ripper it was yesterday. Preston and Hawthorne, but we've had some great segments on this program on Sunday afternoons, and it's a shortened segment today, but Jay's come to the table with a brand new one. It's called Horseradish, and it's even got a stinger.
That's horseradish.
That was it. Short stinger.
It is, Brownie. So the idea, we've done Hitchy Caravan for a couple of years. It was the most popular segment on football radio. Everyone loved it, but it was probably a bit too positive at times. So we just wanted to tip the scales a little bit, and that's horseradish. Is we want you to find something that's bullshlarking, something a coach has said, or your umpiring decision, or something that you don't agree with. You
so think it has
it's
to be based on football?
Not necessarily. Right. Not necessarily. So you can challenge us with something in your peripheral vision. Daisy, I know you've spent 3 days on this.
What have?
Well, come up with?
It's tough at the minute. Petrol's at $2.30. The cost of living is through the roof. It's a crisis. Yep. And then you come to the footy and it's $6.20 for a meat pie. $6.20 for a bottle of water. This is genuine horseradish.
Yeah. You've stolen that idea from the man to our left. He was going to go with something similar. So he's a little bit flat. Nathan Brown, you're our captain. What have you got?
Well, I put a lot of thought into this one, as you know, and I've got a couple. I've got one from outside and one from inside. So I think Collingwood saying that they're resting Tom Mitchell after 1 week is horseradish.
Yep.
I don't believe that for a second. I just think you come out and you say he didn't get the job done in round one, we were poor, and he's been dropped. So
yep.
I don't like it when clubs go, he's been rested or this or that. And I think as we've gone over the last couple of years, I think it's been proven that probably COVID was horseradish.
A global pandemic.
She whiz.
What makes you think that, Dave?
Oh, we've forgotten about it pretty quick, haven't we?
I'm going to go horseradish. Can I go, Jay-Z? I think this is horseradish. This is something I want to get off my chest early in the year. The personal online attacks that these footballers are getting on social media these days, I think, is ridiculous. It's getting to levels that are embarrassing. You're all for supporters to, you know, be passionate and have their comments online. But to directly text players and abuse them personally is horseradish and got to stop. I saw Ash Johnson had to deactivate his Instagram account on the weekend because of the abuse he's been getting. I understand he's a young man who's trying to make it as a footballer. And yes, he hasn't played well those two games. But those footballers do not deserve online abuse and attacks that they are getting. They are just footballers trying their very best, all for the support. But if you're one of those people listening to this, give it a spell. It's getting out of control what these players are being subjected to.
Good call, Joey.
Good call, well, Joey. Stevie?
I'm going to go with one that Dale Thomas came in with off air.
Mm-hmm.
So he marched in here with a very strong view that Collingwood were cooked and they would not make the finals.
Ooh.
And I think that's horseradish. I still have got a lot of belief in the Collingwood Magpies. Only 6 months ago, Dale, that they were a premiership winning team out here on the MCG. So that was strong by you, but I think it's horseradish.
Can you hear the wheels of the bus? That he just threw me under when I didn't say anything along those lines.
Well, you stole my meat pie thing.
I'll tell you what is true, though. Their back line has been horrible. That ain't horseradish. That's a fair dinkum.
Darcy Moore's going to switch on a bit quicker, doesn't he?
Yes, a lot quicker.
Let's quickly talk about now, because in the last three rounds of last year, in rounds 20, 21 and 22, opposition teams kicked 100 points against them. And is it... Now, this is a bold call early, but is Darcy Moore... off his tucker?
Yes. The whole back line is off their tucker.
What are you seeing?
The back line isn't defending a man first and then trying to take dangerous space. If you are going to do that, you rely so heavily on balls coming in, dirty balls from your midfield. And the minute there's no pressure through the midfield when they turn the ball over and the defence gets exposed. So as a minimum, after you realise that in the first quarter, you should go back, reference a man. They're handing over just loosely. It's lackadaisical and they need to be better. The good thing is you can turn it around by just playing on a bloke. Yeah. Somebody defend at some stage.
Yeah, you talk about assertive positioning, taking assertive positioning on your opponent. So taking away the dangerous space in front of him. Mm-hmm. And if someone spits out ahead of you, you can press up and maybe take the ball off them before it gets to that last line. And there's aggressive positioning where you might take another 5 metres in front, like a Darcy Moore. And then there's stupid, which is what they're doing at the moment. They're relying too heavily on what's happening up the ground to get done, which is clearly their pressure has dropped.
Yep, around the ball.
So the ball's not coming in dirty and Darcy Moore's not able to just chop out mark. So now that they're getting through, he's got to go back and, as Dale said, pick up a man and win some one-on-one contest.
He's not playing any differently to what he did last year either. It's just what the supply is coming from the midfield. So he's always been a trailer in and giving an opposition player a fair amount of space, but it's just been highlighted the first two rounds because their midfield hasn't been able to put pressure on.
And if you remember correctly, we had this conversation about Darcy Moore this time last year. So they played that Geelong game where they beat them, but it was a shootout, and he was all over the shop. And
Cameron kicked six.
They were running amok, and then they got beaten by Brisbane round four, and their defence looked all at sea. That's a little bit how they play. It can look really ordinary at times, and yes, they are off their tucker, but like last year, I think they'll find their groove and find the combination that works as the season goes on.
They're missing Murphy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great point. And
is he going to play?
Football intelligence in the back half. He did a lot of the handovers, a lot of the covers off. So he is a smart fullback then. Collingwood have said, even though he's got the tick off from the club doctor and the AFL medical panel, they're going to let him continue to train and build up over the next 5 to 6 weeks. So it is as cautious an approach as we have seen from
which
the football
good.
Club. The president, Jeff Brown, actually had a meeting with his parents and spoke through that. So he's taking his time. Imagine he's trying to find his confidence. But this has been a big sample size now, to take a David King expression. Round 21, Hawthorn kicked 105 against him. Round 22, Geelong, as you mentioned, Joey, 101. Round 23, Brisbane kicked 124. So teams over the end part of last year and the start of this season have been able to kick scores. They play St Kilda, this Thursday?
Thursday night, massive
this
game.
Thursday night.
Game. MCG, yeah, massive game. Massive opportunity for Collingwood to find their best and for St Kilda to on a big stage. They're trying to break their record for the biggest home and away crowd for a home game ever.
What is it, 26,000?
I think in the sort of early 70s, so they're looking to beat that. That's going to be a massive
game. Can the Saints kick enough goals? That's always going to be the question this year for Ross Lyon coach sides. Always has been.
Yep, well, that's going to be the challenge against the Darcy Moore and a Collingwood team we've just spoken about that are off their tucker defensively.
My horseradish for today, guys, is in the media, we can kick a dead horse better than anyone, can't we? Like, we really, the wild card.
He's put a pin in that and circled back around.
So he stopped the segment we're doing to do some news and then come back to it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we were going to talk about the Pies a little bit later, but Daisy started us off, so we may as well keep going. My horseradish is the discussion about a best of three grand final series. It comes from the interstate clubs. Sydney, Fremantle certainly pushing this. Brisbane, I think, have been involved in the conversation. There is not a chance in Hades that the AFL is going to change. One of the best things about the AFL season, which is the all-on-the-line, all-in grand final, you know, high stakes for a best-of-three grand final series. You men have all played in grand finals, except for you, Brenny. Is there any part of you that would be interested in changing it to a best-of-three grand final series?
I think it would be fair on a Sydney Swans if they were to finish in the top four.
Deserving of a grand final to play
one of those games at home.
You would like to see a best of three grand finals?
Oh, I actually don't mind the sound of it. A few more cashies.
Joey, you came back for the second week.
People lose interest in it over 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think it fizzles. Definitely. Joey, you come back the week after. How hard was it?
Oh, yeah, it was difficult, absolutely.
The game was over early?
Yeah, it was. It was over early. I don't mind the idea, too.
Really?
Where we got smothered?
That was the replay. That deflated us real early in that replay.
It was a high ball drop, really. It was about 8 feet above his head.
Yes.
Nah, it's horseradish, and you can stick the idea up your jumpers.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.